כתבי רבה
שקרה.
You especially should pay attention to what's happening with the holidays. These are special times. This slumberness started, a little bit of weakness, some fogginess, all kinds of such. This is the general state which is influencing us, the general state of the nation. Yes.
So what to do in such times, as if to flow like that with all this ambience, or we need somehow to break the habit, because we're entering the habit?
I don't know, it was that way with Rabbi Shaul also, he was like that, and everybody was like that, looking at the world, and it was hard to even keep the eyes open. Yes, because it's a general state, a general atmosphere, you can't disconnect from it. And it's felt already that it's not an ordinary Friday, Saturday, it's the holidays already.
Simply this habit is every time it kills us, it really kills the whole lesson, like now you just said, it's as if we're sitting and...
Specifically from that, from the general state that there is this burdening of the heart, you can add to it your exertion. And even though it seems to you that you are not as alert as usual, but this is a different kind of exertion. You have a more connection with the general state of the nation, of the people. Therefore, don't miss out on these things. It's not, you know, that, oh, we're not studying, we should just go to sleep. No. Even though it seems to you that you're activating yourself on a half the level that you're used to, this half is on a completely different quality. Today, now, you're connected with the whole of Israel.
Well, exactly. So to connect to the general state?
Don't worry about it. Just think about yourself. That's it. Think about our situation with the 10, but you should know that in these situations, during these days, we have a great effect, great influence over the people. We have a great influence. What is the preparation for the slichot, the pardons?
So we're starting in the writings of Abash, page 723. We start in the middle of the article there. Our sages also said, page 723 below, two paragraph from below, second. Our sages also said that with the wicked, the sin seems to them like hair's breadth, and to the righteous, they seem like a high mountain. The question is, what does this seem means? That is, they said it seemed to them, but what is the truth? The thing is that when one does not notice before whom he sins and does not feel the importance and the greatness of the Creator, he is faithless. At that time when he begins to think, but I am a Jew as well, and since now is the month of Elul, and the customary in Israel throughout the generation is that since it is a month of mercy, and anyone who is regarded as Israel know that now is the time to ask the Creator for forgiveness for the sins of the house of Israel. Also, we blow the shofar, so man's heart will bring to contemplate the repentance of sins. At that time, one believes that he too must have sinned and must ask the Creator for forgiveness. However, what is the measure of flaw that he has blemished in the king? A person cannot feel this feeling, rather to the extent one's faith in the greatness of the Creator, he can assume a measure of flaw that he has caused by his sins. Therefore, those who come to ask for forgiveness without any preparation as to what they are forgiven for, or as one who is asking for forgiveness of something, although he did terrible things to him, which required true remorse for his actions, yet he is asking forgiveness as though he did something insignificant. Naturally, the request of forgiveness is also without real value, as it should be for real sin. It follows that before one comes to ask forgiveness, he must first reflect on the core of the sin. Afterwards, he can consider the sins that were caused by the core of the sin. One should know that the core of the sin with which one blemishes and from which all the sins extend is that one is not trying to have permanent faith. If he has partial faith, he settles for it. It is as it is written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot that if he had permanent faith, that faith would not let him sin. That is, he asks forgiveness from the Creator since he sees that the real reason for all the sins is that he lacks permanent faith. Therefore, he asks the Creator to give him that strength, meaning to have the ability to always have faith, steadfast in his heart. Naturally, he will not come to commit sins and blemish the glory of the Creator because he has no feeling of the greatness of the Creator, and because he does not know how to appreciate the glory of heaven and not to harm it. Therefore, he asks forgiveness from the Creator to help him and give him the strength to take upon himself the burden of kingdom of heaven above reason.
What does it mean, partial faith versus complete or permanent faith, permanently and not permanently? So partial versus full faith, permanently and not permanently. Please, in the tense. Partial faith, full faith, permanently versus not permanently. Let's go.
First of all, is the force that is above the desire to receive. It's a force, it's an upper force. Second nature that affects man and enable him to do actions that do not relate to the, not related to the desire to receive.
Partial faith is when we connect only in a part, when we don't discover the need to connect between us fully, completely. And if it's permanent or not permanent, is how much do we include in this effort the light that reforms? We can make efforts, partial, and also not to care that he will be the one that connects us. So it's partial faith and also not permanent.
What can determine permanency within such state called faith is only the... only the group that can necessitate a person to constantly go in contrast to what his desire to receive wants and search for the quality of bestowal. Otherwise, there's no permanency, and every time that the degree of faith is every time anew.
All of this is revealed in the 10, as much as a person is connected with the 10, to the extent that he prays with them and he's together with them in a single system, this builds for him the kli, the vessel of faith. The vessel of faith is the connected vessel of the 10, a vessel of bestowal.
If a person isn't constantly tuned to the final goal, then he has a partial state. Person need to be aimed at the final goal by bestowing contentment to the Creator, and not to suffice with all these disclosures of success or lack of success.
All of this life have no permanence in them. Everything is fluid, everything changes. You really can't tell what's going to happen in a minute. Permanence can be only with respect to the Creator, only with respect to attainment, only with respect to equivalence of form with that force. This is something real. This is something that can really sustain a person, hold a person in a permanent, eternal state. And this is what we need to attain. This is what we want to attain.
Maybe partial faith is when given such moments, such an opportunity to be a bit above that ego, above the desire to receive, and be inclined towards the lack of the friends, praying for it. And complete faith is once one being corrected, then one can see it permanently. I don't know, for us to be rewarded with a partial faith, that's already a big thing.
It seems to me that maybe partial faith is another state on the path, as Rav talked today in the lesson, where I'm still performing actions that are similarly to bestow, but I have out of it all kinds of desires or intentions to receive for myself. And then, out of the multitude of these actions, I start to draw the light until you can reach complete faith.
Complete faith is that every friend appear in complete longing that is totally tuned to the goal, that is entirely in anticipation for salvation. And partial faith is that he has both. Need to conceal the redundant part in order to rise prayer for it. And permanency or non-permanency, that's on the clock. Whether you are holding on to it all day, the prayer, the prayer, or you're falling from it and forget all about it and awaken at some point.
Partial faith is over some of the things that happen in reality. We do think that the Creator gave it to us so that we can connect above it, and another part we don't. Complete faith is that we build such a connection between us so that everything that is revealed, we're certain, we feel, we work with it, so that inside of the 10 we have to work and draw the light that reforms, also with respect to this thing that is revealed. If we had only partial faith, we would be saying that's unrelated, and here it actually is related.
Partial faith, maybe it's when we can work only with part of his desires. Okay, we're continuing in the lower paragraph. Therefore, he asks forgiveness from the Creator to help him and give him the strength to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. Meaning to have the power to overcome and strengthen in the faith in the Creator. We're in page 725. And to know how to behave between man and God with some reverence. This means that when one reflects, he will see that he needs only one thing: to reflect on the difference between a Jew and a Gentile, for which we bless each day. Bless are you, O Lord, for not making me a Gentile. But one does not pay much attention to what he says, for not making me a Gentile. That is, he does not consider himself in what? He is Israel and not a Gentile. We must know that the main distinction is in the faith. Israel believes in the Creator, and the Gentile has no faith in the Creator. Once he knows that difference, he must check his measure of faith in the Creator. Meaning, as it is written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, how much he is willing to make concession for his faith in the Creator. Then he will be able to see the truth. Meaning, if he is willing to do things only for the sake of the Creator and not for his own sake. Or is he willing to work for the Creator only to a small extent, meaning that, God forbid, he would blemish self-love, or else he will not be able to do anything. It therefore follows that then is the time when he can see the truth, his true measure of faith in the Creator. From this he can see that all the sin stems only from this reason. By receiving preparation and qualification when he comes to ask the Creator to forgive his sins, he can assume the true measure of the flaw, meaning in what he flawed he was, meaning in what way he has blemished the glory of the King, and he will know what to ask of the Creator, meaning that he, what sins he has sinned and which he must correct so as not to sin again. Now we can understand what is written in the portion Nitzavim, for this commandment which I command you today is not beyond you, nor is it far. It is not in heaven and not beyond the sea, for the matter is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart to do it. The word for this commandment, to which commandment he is referring, we should also understand the meaning of it is not beyond you. The thing is that the core of the mitzvah is the mitzvah of faith, meaning to believe in the Creator. Afterwards, we can keep his mitzvot, and all the slanders and all the obstructions come to the mitzvah of faith. The body begins to ask many questions, both questions that the body itself is asking and questions about faith that the body hears other people. They come to a person when he wants to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load, meaning everything above reason. Suddenly, the body becomes smart and begins to investigate and ask who and what. Under no circumstances does it let us take upon ourselves the mitzvah of faith. The body's questions are so strong that one cannot answer its questions. Then a person becomes bewildered and does not have the strength to overcome its just arguments according to the reason by which it is asking. The body's questions are true wonder. The writings tell us about this, for this commandment, meaning the commandment of faith, is not beyond you. That is, you do not need to answer the body's question which is asked within reason, since the mitzvah of faith is built specifically above the intellect. That is, the external mind which was given to man cannot attain it. This is why you do not need to answer its bewildering questions. Instead, one must believe that all the questions that the body asks do not come in order for you to answer them. It is to the contrary. These questions come to a person so as to give him a place to believe above reason. Otherwise, if the body understood with its intellect that the person wants to work for the Creator, it would be within reason. This would be called knowing, not believing, for precisely where one's mind does not grasp, there is. If he does something, it is purely on the basis of faith. It therefore follows that one does not need to be very talented in order to be able to answer the body's questions, since all the answers are above reason. called faith. This is regarded as it is not in heaven and not beyond the sea, requiring great tactics. Rather, it is utterly simple, and it is called, it is in your mouth and in your heart to do it, meaning if there is only a desire in the heart, then we can overcome. But the matter of above reason requires clarification, since there are many discernments to make there. And Bala Sulam said that above reason means that one should depict for himself how he would keep Torah and Mitzvot if his reason would determine that it is worthwhile to engage in Torah and Mitzvot. That is, if he felt the taste that is in each and every Mitzvah, its taste, for one must believe that as there are corporeal pleasures, such as pleasures of eating, drinking, and respect, etc., where each thing tastes differently, we must also believe that there is a special taste in each and every mitzvah. Accordingly, if he tasted the change of flavors during his engagement in Torah and Mitzvot, what excitement and vitality would he feel during his work? For reason would compel him to create for himself an image in the work that is suitable for a servant of the Creator. He would look at all the things that wants to disrupt him from his work as inconsequential, unworthy of his attention. According to the above-mentioned depiction, which he depicts to himself within reason, he should make the same depiction above reason. That is, although he does not feel that there will be something that reason supports, he will work precisely as if he has strong reason and feeling. When he does this, it is regarded as working above reason. However, as long as he feels that if he had reason, he would be serving the Creator more willingly and more consistently, then he is still working within reason, since there is still a difference between reason and above reason. Precisely when it makes no difference to him, it is regarded as above reason.
Questions? Yes?
Beforehand, you said,
can hear you,
that in the beginning of a path at time there is exertion to come to the lesson, yeshivat chavarim, etc., and then a sudden receive importance and become easier for him. And actually, this is the problem. This is what you said.
Yes, of course, this is the problem also. If you'll be given a desire for anything, then is that my desire? I preceded it with a lack? No? So it's not my desire. If you were brought here, maybe you were on fire. I don't quite remember how you came here. Did you come here burning on fire? Like this, like, you know, somebody told you, let's come. So you went, right?
Yeah, in the beginning, I wasn't on fire to start with. Until later on that I really...
Okay, so in short, let's say that a person has suddenly... his desires is on fire, what's the purpose of my life, how do I attain, etc., etc., and he comes here with enthusiasm, he's in like that. So is that his desire? No. When can you say that it's your desire?
And seemingly,
well, it's never yours, but my desire means that I awaken from above a light and it influences me and it gives me a desire. Like that. The Creator is always the first. However, I am the first with the lack. That could be. He's giving me opportunities from which I can gather a desire from the group. There, it's my first and only choice. And if I, by the little awakening from below, come to the group, and I gather from them through envy and yearning and honor, etc. I gather a greater deficiency, and then with the group together as a public representative, I pray to him and I ask, bring me, bring me, bring me. Then what I get from him is considered, is counted at my account, because I was the man who demanded it. That's it. This is called my deficiency. And
today was kind of an opposite process. Indeed, in the beginning, it seems like a person is given a desire and is taken gradually away from him, and through the environment, you need to provide a new desire.
Yes, that too the Creator does. He gives you a desire on purpose, and later on, gradually, you know, you lose it.
So today you spoke of something on the opposite, that actually once it was all the lessons were exertion for a person, now it's sufficiently important to him, it's not no longer an effort, to the contrary.
To that too.
So what are we doing in that state that you said is dangerous?
Of course, even a habit is something dangerous. The habit itself is dangerous. I'm working, it seems like everything is fine, I understand, I feel, I go into things. If it is without an effort which is in contrast to the disturbances, then I'm not doing anything. Yes? It's a problem. We have to constantly calculate, reflect.
I didn't get it. When the body's questions are coming, you won't ask who, what, what's good to get out of it. It's a place, you're right, it's a place for work of faith above reason.
So?
But how many times see people who have something that disturbs them, maybe leave or get weaker, etc. Why specifically from that place the Creator arranges for us to get from it to faith? What do we need to do in order to reach specifically to faith?
You're being confused between faith over above reason and overcoming. It's not exactly the same thing. Faith above reason is the ability to bestow in contrast to my reason, my opinion. And I'm in this force of bestow above reason, above my reason. And I, as if I'm flying, I'm happy. I have the opportunity to bestow to the Creator. To the contrary, in contrast to what I think and want. This is the force of faith, and I received it from the light that reforms. Truly, it's a gift. And that's it. I don't have to overcome. Faith above reason gives me the strength. Now, to overcome, I have to do it first in order to be rewarded with faith above reason. Faith above reason is that I feel that my will to receive is there, and it would have liked me to take care of it and through it in such an orderly manner, and I have the strength to take care of things in the opposite manner, above it. It is truly two levels, two floors. Yes?
So I need to answer his questions or not?
No, I don't need to. No, what with reason? No, I shouldn't answer them. No way. And I also, I don't have anything with which to answer. I mean, I feel that there are these questions there, but how happy I am that I cannot pay attention to it, you know, not care about it at all, to be truly above it.
So this is the first overcoming about these questions?
You don't have overcoming if you already received that state of above reason. You don't need to overcome. To get that force, you need overcoming. Once you receive this force, you don't have overcoming. You're in it already.
So when the questions come, I need the force of overcoming to find it, and then when I have this overcoming, I'll receive the force of faith.
We can say that.
Ken.
Yes.
In order to acquire the force of faith above reason, there has to be directed the prayer so that I want specifically that.
Faith above reason comes through the light that reforms when you are included in an environment, and through it you want to reach bestowal to them and to the Creator. Then, that force that gives you the possibility to bestow through the environment to the Creator, who is inside the environment, is called the force of faith.
And I need to imagine precisely what is it that I want, or
as much as possible.
Or is it can be
as much as possible. If it's blurry, it's blurry for the time being, but that doesn't matter. But try. Who's there?
Rav, I wanted to ask, is there a question between relinquishment, nullification, and faith above reason?
Annulment is these are the preconditions to demanding to be above reason. Yes. What? Yaakov?
We spoke of corporal pleasures that we know how to enjoy. We can pass to one another, like food, etc. How in the 10, you pass spiritual pleasures? How each one pass on the sensation?
No, it's impossible. No, we only have to externally encourage the friends toward bestowal, toward connection, not more than that. Don't talk too much. Don't open one's secrets of the heart.
When we're speaking about the greatness of the Creator in the 10, what is greatness of the Creator? In what He is great?
In what is He great? In whatever you can imagine? I can tell you. Try it. But I'm asking you something different. Is there anything other than the greatness of the Creator? Other than dust, which is the matter of the whole of creation, all the rest is only the upper force. So, talk about the greatness of the Creator.
That He is present in everything?
You can detail it in any way you want. You can elaborate it, you can talk about it, but not personally, the way that each one feels, the way that each one imagines it. No, only in a general way.
When a friend says he received a work or he is being healed by a disease, is that considered he is speaking of the greatness of the Creator?
He just found work on the outside, you mean? Found a job?
He didn't have a job and now he got a job.
Why is that the greatness of the Creator?
See, here's the question. Many times throughout the day we engage in our 10 in impressions.
Impressions out of life. But about the greatness of the Creator, no, it's not customary for us. It's not customary for us to talk about the individual states of each and every one. Individual spiritual states, about corporeality, about the fact that you are working, you are given something to do at work, that doesn't matter. You can talk about it.
Trying to understand when someone in the 10, a friend in the 10, wants to play to the friends and the greatness of the Creator. What does he need to transmit? How should he play it?
How to do it? Maybe to bring them a passage from Psalms or something but not to start out of himself to give a speech. That's not customary for us. Bring some small passage, a few words out of what is written. That it's burning in him, but he says, look what I found. And he gives you a few lines from something, Bala Sulam, Rabash, Psalms. Yes?
Along the whole time of the lesson, we need to have the anticipation for the light that reforms.
Our whole life, we should be expecting the light that reforms. Our whole life. Otherwise, life is not considered that you are living the life of a man, Adam.
In the portion of the lesson, when we read the text, then there's kind of a more or less clear stream, and due to the sensation of the ten, we try to stabilize and connect to the writer through the text, etc. And when the Rav speak, or when the Rav scrutinize a certain element about a question that the friend asked him, what is the work there exactly?
To connect to what they're saying, the Rav and the friend, what does it matter? To integrate with it, to incorporate with it, what is the question? I mean, I have to incorporate, to integrate with everyone.
Same work as with the text? There's no difference?
There is no difference. What does it matter if the text or they're saying something? I'm always searching for the connection to the light that reforms. Okay. Well, Meron, oi.
What is overcoming which leads to faith? As if, what is the right overcoming that builds faith? It's feel contradictory to me. Faith is kind of a state where you entirely turn into the light that reforms because you're lacking power and you have no energy to do anything.
No, that's not faith. Hold on a minute. Faith is a force that gives me the possibility to bestow. It's not a lack. It's a force. It's a force of bestow. What next? Yes, yes.
So my question is, where here a person receives states, and we're speaking of overcoming.
Yes.
And is overcoming leading for faith?
Yes.
I don't understand. So what is the right overcome that lead to faith? The faith above reason.
Yes. So I have reason, and I work according to reason, to my reason. That's worthwhile. This is not worthwhile. This way I'm going to gain. That way I'm going to gain. When I work according to my reason, it is considered that I'm working within reason. Right? When I expect something according to my calculation, it is considered as faith within reason, right? That's it. When I work in something out of the fact that everybody believes it, and I was told that in school, in the cheder, in the yeshiva, everybody is saying, my rabbi is telling me, my rebbe, that this is what you need to do, in order to get a reward in the next world. And I therefore work, and I do it. This is called faith below reason. There's no proof for it, but I do it beneath my reason. When I need to carry out actions of bestow, the mitzvot, as we call it, in spite of my ego, so it's not below my reason, it's not within my reason, it's above reason, above my ego. And then I do it through an upper force, the light that reforms only. As much as I'll get that light that reforms, I'll be able to carry out actions of bestow above, that is, in contrast to my reason. How do I do it? I don't know how. They say that the light comes and you can do it. that now I have an envelope with, inside there is, I don't know, there's a picture of a cuckoo or something? The lying, a smiley. Okay, a smiley, yeah. And I look at it, and I accept it as though it was $1,000. What, am I crazy? And this kind of smiley? It's $1,000. Yes?
No.
Go ahead. This is called faith above reason.
Okay, but what is overcoming here? There's I and my own strength that I feel like I'm doing a certain action, and there's my dependence on the light that reform. Where it's clear to me that without the light that reform, everything I'll do would still be within reason, within my ego.
Yes.
So how does overcoming, which is an action where I'm active,
what overcoming is there here with faith above reason?
This is what I'm asking.
Who can give an answer? There is no overcoming. How can it be that I will overcome? The light comes. What does the light do to me? So that I, instead of this smiley making fun of me, I will accept it as $1,000. Well. The greatness of the Creator. The greatness of the Creator. I received from the light that reforms. Because the light is the Creator himself. When he shines on me, what he shines on me is that he is the great one who fills up everything, who does everything, carries out everything. Everyone are truly like garbage, like nothing, like zero before him. And then, what is this smile? I don't care who it is, what it is. The main thing is that I have connection through this with the Creator, the greatest thing. That's it. It's the force of faith.
So it turns out that all the overcoming you need to do is that game where to start with I have no faith, and I don't feel the greatness of the Creator, but I'm pretending.
As if, of course, as if it's a lie, you're aware of it, yes.
And then out of that come the light, is that overcoming? The overcoming is... How would my overcoming, the action I'm doing, brings light, which is unrelated?
You overcome, even though you don't want to. In the study, in connection with the friends, from all of these things above your ego, you want that as a result of it, the light of reforms will come, and it will give you some kind of a hocus pocus, some kind of force, so that you will be above the whole of reality, like that, floating. And the whole of reality is down below, and you know that I'm going to lose in this whole of reality about how happy I am because I'm elevating myself above it. And instead of that, I'm connected with the Creator.
So why we call this faith and not exchanging a cow for a donkey? Because it's like the connection of the Creator is more important for me.
Yes, of course.
So why are you calling it faith?
Because you have gained this force. You gained this force by your overcoming on top of the ego. And if now you can do something which is contradictory to the force of faith, like I resisted my ego and I acquired the force of faith above reason, now I want to resist the force of faith and perform actions within reason. I can't. I cannot. It is truly a new reality. It is truly a new reality. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes. What is the state of permanent faith?
He writes about it. You know, something in Shemati there, right? The state of permanent faith. What is that? There is such a thing. Permanent faith? Yes, it's the force of bestowal that's already permanent in the person, and it can't fall lower than that. But it's something we need to learn. It's not that... it's a state that still fluctuates. You lose the force of faith too. It just depends on how exactly do you lose it. And you don't lose bestowing in order to bestow, only receiving in order to bestow. Well, we've yet to learn that.
No.
Yes.
No.
So if the effort required of one is far beyond their, if the effort required of one is beyond what's available to them within reason.
אז אם המאמץ שנדרש מאדם זה מעבר ליכולתו.
But to make a prayer for oneself is not effective.
ותפילה עבור עצמי זה לא מועיל.
Where does one get the forces to acquire above reason?
אז מאיפה האדם מקבל את הכוחות ללכת מעל הדעת?
Even if one's desire is very great.
אפילו אם יש לו רצון מאוד גדול.
קודם כל, כל העבודה שלנו.
First of all, our entire work is for a force that we don't have and we cannot have naturally, that force of bestowal, force of faith. We cannot have it. Why should we have it? It's the force of the Creator in general. It's Him. He lies within that force of bestowal and love. We, as a copy of that force, have only a force of reception. And therefore, when we receive any force of His, it's beyond our nature. And so, our work is to yearn for the Creator's force to come and cover our force. One covers the other. So obviously, we're working towards a state that is not a natural or a normal state. So what are you asking?
I want so badly to make the effort that is required of me to fill my role for the friends great to achieve for the friends to achieve their goal.
אני רוצה לממש את הרצון אז שיש בי עבור החברים שיצליחו להשיג את מטרתם.
So what is it okay for me to pray for myself to receive this force?
אז זה בסדר בשבילי להתפלל עבור עצמי כדי לקבל את הכוח הזה?
You learn how to pray correctly. But no, we don't pray for ourselves.
So I pray for the friends. If I want for myself, I pray for that in the friends.
אז אם אני רוצה משהו בשביל עצמי, אז עבור זה אני מתפלל בעד החברים.
נו לפחות ככה.
Well, at least that way. Yeah. Let's say you, if you want to find today $100 in the corner of the street, so pray for the friends to have that kind of success, and you'll be a part of that too.
Ken,
yes.
למה אתה אומר שאמונה מעל הדעת זה לא חיסרון?
Why do you say that faith above reason is not a חיסרון, deficiency? It's a force that lets me rise above the will to receive. But still, you're in deficiency, you're in חיסרון for דבקות, for bestowal. So there is still a craving, it's not just a cover.
כוח אמונה זה כוח השפעה.
The force of faith is a force of bestowal. Bestowal is not a lack. It's already an action.
What's the action?
The action is like Chafetz Chesed, delighted in mercy.
Desire in mercy is already an act. Is it a desire? What's the action?
The action is to want to bestow.
So he wants.
But there's nothing to bestow.
But it's a force. It's like a craving. There is a prayer.
Faith above reason is, well, look, it depends on what we're talking about. If we're only talking about faith above reason, it's a person who received the force to rise above his reason. That's it. That's it. It's not an urge to bestow. He doesn't have that. That force only helps him be above the will to receive.
To receive faith above reason,
one has to integrate.
Right, so he needs to pray.
Right, of course.
Prayer of many and all that. So in the end, there's an effort on his part, as a result of which the answering to the prayer is the force of faith above reason, right? And then what? Is he in a static state where I've risen about it and now I'm like an embryo and that's it?
No, he has many desires that he now needs to actualize with this correction above reason over each and every desire. When he undergoes that, that means to go all the way from the beginning of the conception and the birth and the days of the infancy until the 13 years in one day.
What's the difference between a prayer before one receives above reason and afterwards? The person's action.
But I don't know what degree of faith above reason we're talking about.
You just said faith above reason is when a person receives strength to rise above the will to receive.
So he wants to be above reason more and more and more.
Doesn't he feel a hole in that state?
Present state, yes. Next state, no. Because the desire keeps growing until one transcends his entire desire with the force of Bina, then he's not going to be whole. He has to come to the degree of righteous. The force of Bina needs to rule over the entire Malchut.
I'm trying to understand if it's a process or a state.
A process. Of course he has lacks. The lack is to correct all his desires, 613, by faith above reason, from light to heavy. That means raising the desires to Bina.
Okay, so that's all the work. So what's after above reason? What's after he corrected everything
now
in faith above reason?
He'll start receiving in order to bestow.
Oh, now I understand.
Okay, that's it.
Concerning the technology of the technique of how to receive faith above reason, there are two ways. Either I constantly run within reason, do things, invoke surrounding light, and then I receive that force, or I constantly work to receive some sort of to do things towards society and so on. I receive surrounding light and don't expect to now somehow receive the force of above reason.
But you can't receive anything but a force of bestowal from the upper light. And the force of bestowal that we receive, that's what we call faith above reason. Or lishma. Well, degrees of lishma, yeah.
Right. So the distinction here is that either I need to constantly wait, like now I'm sitting in a workshop and I'm trying within reason to listen to the friends and all that, and then I receive that force, and it's like I did something. I received the force of above reason, I felt an element of something, or I just do what I have to do, and I know that the surrounding light is working on me, and at some point, I sometimes also feel the force of above reason that I receive. So what should we expect?
To the light that reforms, that brings faith in the man's heart, period.
To feel it or just do things?
To feel it.
To expect to feel it?
It says that. Why don't you read it? Next.
He says here that a person needs to go above reason, meaning he felt, just like he feels flavors like food and stuff like that in the will to receive, the pleasures he feels, what pleasures he would feel in doing certain mitzvot, commandments. Like there are all kinds of commandments, and he would feel all kinds of pleasures.
Right.
From them. So we know that a mitzvah, a commandment, is to bring contentment to his maker. So what different mitzvot are we talking about here?
You have 613 desires, and you're using them in bestowing in order to bestow or receiving in order to bestow. You bring contentment to the Creator. How? That he enabling him to appear in you in the corrected vessels. And that's called the mitzvah.
A person is in a specific desire each time. He's not in 1,000 desires, so he has to discern. How would I feel like?
Wait. Where are you running? I don't understand you. There's a specific desire. I correct it. Let's say I corrected it both by restriction, masach, ochozel, ibul yanikamuchim, receiving in order to bestow. Let's say so. It's not exactly, but let's say. And in that desire, the light, the upper light spreads, and it's called flavors, and then I taste that upper light as I receive it in order to bestow. That is called taste and see that the Lord is good. And in that feeling of light that expands in my desire, and it is wrapped with the intention to bestow to the Creator, in it I have adhesion with the Creator. And that's what I need to do with all my desires, to be completely adhered in all 613 desires, me for my beloved and my beloved for me.
So what, a person is aware of all his desires and says, if this and that desire is corrected, I'll feel this, and if that desire, I'll feel that?
Before that, I don't know. If it is corrected, I don't know the desire before I corrected it. And all the more so, the flavors that will appear there and so on and so forth. How can I know that? After I corrected all my desires, I then feel all the flavors the Creator wants me to taste. And that's called taste and see that the Lord is good, where the great light of Nanchai expands into the vessel of the entire soul.
So before that, a person can't imagine it. He doesn't have a clue.
What do you need to imagine? What for?
Well, that's what it says, you know. Imagine what you'll feel when you fulfill the mitzvot.
Imagine what? Show me exactly.
Page 379, column B. A person should believe, as there are incorporeal pleasures, like in eating and pleasure and drinking and all that, we see that there are different flavors. Likewise, we have to believe that in each and every mitzvah there is a special flavor. And accordingly, he would taste the different flavors while engaging in Torah and mitzvot. So when he's doing different mitzvot, he feels different fulfillment as a result of these corrections.
Yes, of course they're different, but to try to imagine what it is exactly, we can't. It's different, yeah. All right, not the same people, no? That's it, okay. What are we doing next?
We can study Zohar, Taz, or continue with Rabash.
Anyone in favor of Zohar or Taz? Who's in favor of Zohar? Who's in favor of Taz? Who's up for another article? No, no one wants an article. Okay, so again, Zohar, who's in favor? And Taz?
Taz.
Maybe we'll read Zohar, I don't know. Looking at the hands, it's Zohar. Maybe we'll go for Taz anyway.